Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus D. Wiley.
What's up? Yeah. Raleigh, North Carolina. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Man, let's jump into it. I got a lot of emails. People were saying, Marcus, I want to come to the show, but I'm single. This is really not for me. But I want to share with you, this is exactly for single people. Married people are already grandfathered in. They stuck. I'm sharing with the singles. I'm letting you look over the balcony of a marriage tonight so you can see if this something you want to do. Because I'm going to tell you like this here. I don't think marriage is for everybody. I don't. It's not for everybody. Yeah. Like if you have a problem forgiving people. No, I'm saying if you struggle forgiving folk, single. Yeah, I wouldn't get married if I was you. Yeah. If you somebody who on a strike system, I only give 3 strikes. I struck out of year 1. Marriage ain't for you. And if you somebody who say stuff like, you know, you got deal breakers. You already know what's gonna break you up before you hook up. Marriage ain't for you. Yeah. And so I want to let the singles know before I even get started, this show is for you. And watch this. I've been married 27 years and I still watch Living Single. If it's good, it's just good. I mean, yeah. Well, let's get into it, y'all. It was December 12th, 1996. I was matriculating at the University of Texas Southern. TSU is an HBCU in Houston, Texas. Yeah, it was my first year of grad school. I'm in grad and I'm failing. I'm failing. I'm failing. Not because I'm dumb. I'm failing because they tricked me. They lied to me about school. They told me if I went to college and earned a degree, once I graduated, there would be companies waiting to give me a job. Like they would just be passing out, handing out jobs. They lied to me. Because when I graduated, I went from the graduation line to the unemployment line. And both them lines real long. So I'm on the yard, you know, contemplating my life, things not going well. I'm on the yard sitting there with no purpose. I have no direction. And then that's when I seen this thing walking on the yard. She 5'7" with dimples, potential, wife credentials. I mean, she's a bad mama jamma. Just as fine as she can be. Okay, she's a brick. House. She's mighty, mighty. She's once, twice, 3 times a lady. Yeah. I'm sitting next to my boy on the yard, guy by the name of Cliff. When she walked by, Cliff said, "Hey, what's up, Erica?" I was like, "Hey, bro, you know her?" And he was like, "Yeah, that's E." I said, "How well do you know her?" Yeah, because I want to know, have you seen her naked? I'm just going to be honest. Have you seen her naked? Don't get me wrong. If you have, it's no problem, but I need to know today. I don't want to find out later. Let me know right now if you done seen her naked. So Cliff was like, no, I ain't seen her like that. I said, "Well, shoot, call her back over here." So he calls her over. They engage in conversation. He says, "This is my boy Marcus." She never looked at me. She went, "Hey." Well, little did she know, that turned me on right there. I like a girl with attitude, yeah. I like spice. I eat spice. I eat that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That was December 12th, 1996. 2 days later, it's December 14th. I am the graduate assistant for the Lady Tigers, the basketball team. That's how I'm paying for school. So after we practiced, I took them to the cafeteria to eat lunch. While we in there eating, that thing walks in again. I tell the girls, I say, hey, y'all see that chick right there? She looks like Mrs. Wiley. That's what I said. She looks like Mrs. Wiley. This is very big because I don't know her. I don't know the generational curses that's been passed through her life. I don't know nothing about her DNA. I don't know how she was raised. I don't know nothing. I just know she looked like Mrs. Wiley. So the girls were like, well, Marcus, you think you a player. Why don't you get her? I said, bet. So I grabbed a napkin and I wrote on the napkin, are you interested in me? Check yes. That's it. This ain't no multiple choice. I don't give y'all them options. You see what the Lord is doing. Check yes. So the girls are like, boy, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. I said, well, it's really not to see if it's gonna work or not. It's more of an icebreaker. I'm trying to see if she my type of girl. Does she have the type of personality I like? Because if she my kind of girl, when she get this, she gonna smile, maybe blush, laugh, or something like that. If she not my kind of girl, when she get the napkin, she gonna hoo child and throw it all away. That ain't my type. That's not my type. So we passed the napkin over to her table. And we was just like this. She got the napkin. She opened it up. She smiled. She put her head in her hands. I said, bingo. So I walked over there. I said, excuse me, but are you married? She says, no. I said, are you engaged? She says, no. I said, do you have more than two kids? No, because I can't take care of myself right now, so I don't want to add nobody else to this here. She says, no. I say, do you have an incurable disease? It's college. Don't act like that. It's college. She said, no, but what are all the questions for? I said, I'm just trying to see what's going to stop us from being together. She said, none of the above. I say, well, look here, I got $65 to my name. That's checking, savings, car console, under the mattress, in my sock. $65 to my name, but I want to spend it all on you. She said, oh, that's so sweet, but I got a date tonight. I said, well, call him and tell him you done found your man. She said, I may have. But I'm going on that date tonight. And little did she know, that turned me on again. Ooh, I like a lady that stick to her itinerary, man. I like that. So we exchanged numbers. A couple of days later, she called me. We started dating. Then after that, we was courting. I met her December 12th, 1996. We got engaged April the 11th, 1997. We were married August 23rd, 1997. She not pregnant. I can read your mind. She not pregnant. She not pregnant. I just told you. She looked like she's supposed to be with me, though. So, man, before we got married, I shared with Erica. I said, look here, I had dreams before I met you. And if you would be so kind to allow me 5 years to chase my dream. Let me find myself. Let me get my foot and give me 5 years to chase my dream. Now, I ain't going to hold you long. If I don't get it by 5 years, I ain't going to be 51 years old talking about, you know, my rap CD about to drop. I ain't going to do you like that. Just give me 5 years. Man, that girl looked at me and said, I can do that. I said, okay, well, since you're in agreement with me, not only do I need 5 years to find myself, but I need you to hold a job down for 5 years. Because, you know, I'm going to be getting jobs, quitting. I'm going to be getting jobs, getting fired. I'm going to be getting jobs, walking away. And I need you to hold me down for 5 years. That girl said, I can do that. I said, well, hold on. Since I'm going so well with you right now, not only do I need you to give me 5 years, you know, to get myself together. And not only do I need you to hold on a job for 5 years while I'm doing that, I also need you to shut up about it. I knew I was gonna lose the ladies right there. They was with me at first, okay. Shut up. Wait, hold on, who he talking to? Yeah, no, I don't mean she doesn't have a voice. I mean, I don't want to hear about you talking about when you're going to get a job and when you're going to do this, because it's not going to always look good, okay? It's going to be some days, I told her, you're going to get up and go to work, and I'm going to be sitting on the couch. And you're going to work 8 hours, and then you're going to come home, and I'm going to still be sitting on the couch. Yeah, that ain't going to look good. But today was a thinking day. And the Bible says, so a man thinketh, so is he. Yeah. But the girl said, I can do that. And so, man, we got married. We got married. And when we got married, oh, at the beginning, it was beautiful. In the beginning, it was so much fun. Because when we got married, y'all, I didn't bring anything to the table. She didn't bring anything to the table. So we had to build a table. So all we had at that time in the beginning was sex. That's all we had, a lot of sex. Just sex all the time. You know how the Bible say love covers a multitude of sins? Well, in marriage, sex covers a multitude of insufficiencies. Yeah, when you don't have no money when you first get married, all you have is sex. We'd be in the mall. My wife be like, ooh, that's a beautiful purse. I wish I could get that. I'd be like, I wish I could get it for you. Oh, but what I can do. Let's get on back to the highs. Let's go on back to the highs. Yeah. We was having sex all the time. Sex before church. Sex after church. Just sex. It's almost twisted because I would tell her, hey, cut that Freddie Jackson off. Put on Fred Hammond. We finally having sex sin free. Let's do it to gospel music. You know, yeah, we were so free. I was so happy to be having sex and not having to come to church on Sunday talking about, I give myself away. We was legal. Let me stay here. We was having a lot of sex in the beginning, man. One of the jobs I hated in that 5 years, I was a middle school teacher. Can't stand middle school kids. They want to be grown one day, babies the other day. Can't stand them. Worst job I ever had. But my wife, only reason why that job was cool, because on her lunch break, she would come up there on my lunch break while them kids was at lunch and be all type of nasty in that classroom. And when them kids came back, I said, hey, don't sit right there. Unless you want a mustache at 13, don't you sit right there. It wasn't no hand sanitizer back then. I go up to her job sometime, yeah. Park in the parking garage, she come out there. This is the praise team lead I'm talking about. She come out there. And we have praise and worship. Right in that parking garage, yeah. Bunch of sex. So we rolling, a couple of years then went by, man, we rolling, things are cool. And I remember I was at my father's church. It was this deacon at my father's church named Deacon Estes. That was his name, Deacon Estes. And he asked me, he said, hey, Mark, how's marriage going? That's what people do. They like to ask folk, how's marriage going? And, you know, at the time, I was like, you know, Deacon, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? It's been all right. You know, everything cool. Then he go to rapping. Well, be careful, stay prayerful. Stay anointed so you won't get disappointed. Be blessed. No stress. But then he says to me, he says, and Marcus, beware of the 5-year itch. He said five. Correcting me up here on my show. I'm telling you what the man said. He said, beware of the 5-year itch. I had never heard of this. Didn't know what this was, the 5-year itch. But it seemed like right after he said it, I just started itching all over, man. Oh, I itched, because now we're about 4 years in and we have hit one of them seasons. I'm not liking marriage. I like her, but I'm not liking marriage. One of the biggest things I didn't like about marriage was I didn't know marriage come with a curfew. Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, marriage comes with a curfew. Now, it's not like a child's curfew. It's not like somebody telling you to be at home at a certain time. That's not how the curfew works. The curfew is based off of the event you're currently at. Okay? So, for instance, like if you're here tonight without your spouse, what your spouse is at home doing right now is calculating the time he or she believes you should be coming in the house. When they get to the conclusion of the time, they're not gonna call and tell it to you. They're not gonna text it to you. You should just know. So when I first got married, I didn't know nothing about no curfew. I go to my wife and be like, hey, babe, I'm gonna go check out this little show tonight. You wanna come? My wife be like, you know, babe, I'm a little tired. You go ahead and go. I be like, good. Yeah. Because, hey, married people want to let their hair down sometimes. Yeah. Married people need their own independence. It ain't like I'm trying to get in trouble. But I'm trying to be as close to it as possible. I'm trying to walk in there. Is this where trouble at right here? Oh, trouble on that side. Okay, I'm going to go over there. Yeah. Yeah. But what I did not know was my wife would be at home like this here. Okay. Okay. So that show started at 7. They normally last about 2 hours. That's 9. I'ma give him 15 minutes to key with everybody. He loved talking in public. But when he at home, he always looking all sad in the face, all melancholy, looking like he don't wanna be here. You ain't gotta be here! But when he in public, he always skinning and grinning, cheesing and sneezing. We live 15 minutes from the venue. Ladies and gentlemen, your curfew tonight is no later than, somebody said 9:30. Oh my God. Are you not gonna count traffic? All this construction on these streets out here? And let me say this, men don't go straight home. We don't. This don't mean we in trouble, trying to get in trouble. We just don't go straight home. I could stop at a gas station, have a 45-minute conversation with a complete stranger about something stupid. Who better, Jordan, LeBron? We just out there talking. And then watch this. I watch my dad, right? The pastor come home late sometime. And my mama, hey, where you been? And my daddy, you know, men of that generation, he come right in. I went to see a man about a dog. And as a kid, I'd be like, what dog? We don't even like pets. What is he talking about? Yeah, I didn't know that meant mind your business. Don't be questioning me, you ain't my mom. I didn't know that then. But when I got married, I tried the same thing. Walk right in, my wife, where you been? Man, I went to see a man by the dog. My wife, what dog? Where the dog at? Show me a picture of the dog. What kind of dog is it? I said, hey man, my mama never said none of that. I wasn't liking it. I wasn't liking marriage. I wasn't liking it, man. I felt like I had married the wrong one. Yeah. I felt like I picked wrong. Plus, I've been looking, and I've seen stuff that's bigger, better, more efficient, faster. So me and my wife, we talking crazy to each other, talking out the side of our necks, being very disrespectful. Don't look at me like that. She got a mouth, too. She talking crazy. And I remember the day when it hit the fan. Man, I was at the crib, sitting down, talking to one of my best friends, a guy by the name of Maurice. And we sitting there talking, just having a good time. Erica busts in the door. Marcus, we need to talk. Maurice, you need to leave. Man, I sat there. I said, hey, hold on. How long I been knowing you? He said, since 1984. I said, I just met her. That's a cold line right there. But my boy Reese said, nah, I'ma go and get out of here. You gonna talk to your wife, handle your business. That's what a good friend would do. Yeah, a bad friend be like, ooh, you told her, dog. You wear the pants up in here. So we leave out the apartment. We lived in a mid-rise, a seven-story mid-rise. We lived on the seventh floor. I walk Reese down to his truck, dapped him up, get back on the elevator. Right as I turn to get ready to go on the hallway to our apartment, I see all these clothes. All these clothes just all in the hallway. Hallway just full of clothes, shoes, everything. I'm so arrogant at the time, I'm thinking somebody gonna be mad. I start walking to my apartment, and as I'm getting there, I'm noticing, whoa, these my shoes. Hey, this my jacket. So I go to the door, boom. I lock. First I tried to open it up, but it was locked. So I'm boom. Ling. Boom. Say, man, open the door. She like, no, I don't know if she's doing this, but I feel like she is. You don't want to be here. You ain't got to be here. And all that. I said, man, open the door, man. This is corny. What you doing? All this soap opera stuff. Open the door. I ain't got my keys or nothing. She said, I'm going to throw your keys and your wallet over in the balcony. I said, man, you throw my stuff over no balcony. While I'm yelling, white people walking by. I'm, hey, how y'all doing? Y'all okay? No, y'all good? Everything good? Now, this is how we play. We play like this all the time. Yeah, it's crazy. Man, open the door. Open the door. I'm beating on, I'm ringing the doorbell, man. Girl ain't open no door. So I went down to the leasing office. I did the worst thing I could have ever done. I don't know why I didn't tell the people at the leasing office, hey, go open y'all door. But instead, I called the police. I didn't know. I had no idea they are not on my side. I put on my police voice. When they showed up, I met them downstairs. They got there, I said, hey guys, thanks for coming. Listen, I called you because me and my wife, you know, a little argument, a little riff, a little tiff. And she didn't lock the door. You know how women can be. And so she locked the door, and I called you guys just to get me back in my apartment. Dude was like, okay, cool, let's go on up there. We get the elevator. We walking. Man, them some nice shoes. I said, hey, stay focused. Stay focused. He knocks on the door. She opened the door. He walked right to her. Ma'am, did he touch you? I said, hey, whoa. Hold on. I call y'all. I don't know what dispatch told you, but I'm the one that called you. And downstairs, when I met you, you didn't ask, has she touched me? Yeah, what's going on here? And for a split second, I looked at Erica, my wife, and she was like this. I was like, ooh, don't do me like this now. Anyway, the police begins to talk to us, and he shares with us that, hey, we do these domestic calls all the time. And what we found in our experience is if somebody don't leave, we find ourselves returning back here again. And so, sir, since all your stuff already outside. This your stuff out here, right? Yeah. It'll be easier for you to go ahead and leave. Now, y'all, I'm not one to get embarrassed. I don't get embarrassed, but I was embarrassed because all the people in the apartment community, they was coming out there. I ain't like none of that. I get all my stuff out that apartment, put it all in my truck. I don't even have nowhere to go. But I went where they say you can always go, home. So I drove over to my mama and my daddy house, the pastor and the first lady. Surely they will have a word at a time such as this. I get in the house, I tell my mom and my daddy what happened. Here go my daddy. Oh, this boy done got kicked out of his own house by his old lady. I said, what kind of pastor are you? Then my daddy tell me, hey, you can stay here tonight. But yeah, that's your wife. You picked her. This ain't no rest haven over here. So you can stay here tonight, but then, yeah, you need to get yourself together. But I had already determined in my mind, I'm done. I'm getting a divorce. Yeah, I'm through with this here. Plus, you know, I'm a Christian. I know how to fix stuff up for me. I was like, this the Lord's doing. He's making a way for an escape. For me. Yeah. Yeah, I know how I'm doing. So I'm living pillar to post. Living pillar to post until I got me an apartment. We were separated for 6 months. During that 6 month stint, though, I get a phone call from BET, Black Entertainment Television. They call and they say, hey, man, we want to feature you as one of the top 5 clean comedians in the country. At this time, okay, thank you. At this time, I'm not even good, though. I'm not. But I've been in church all my life, and they talk about this thing called favor. So when you get it, stop acting like you don't deserve it. Yeah. So I told the people at BET, I'll be there. They filmed it at this hotel in Miami called the Eden Rock Hotel. I don't know if y'all ever been to Miami, but Miami, the women there are naked and unashamed. And they're not even trying to be provocative. That's just a way of life. And so I get down to Miami and I film the little show. I do my set and I had a good set. And that night after the show, they had what we call today like bottle girls, bottle service girls. And they were there with the terry cloth, the little shorts, or the little tube top heels, the trays with the coconut drinks on them. And after my show, I was just sitting on the couch and they just kept coming up to me. Ooh, Poppy. Poppy, you were so funny tonight, Poppy. And I couldn't even enjoy it because I'm thinking the only person who will understand the magnitude of this moment is not here. I've been pillar talking her for 5 years, telling her, stick with me. Hang on. It's gonna pop for us. And now it's popping, and she not here. I couldn't even enjoy the coconuts. My manager was like, call your wife. I said, the devil is a lie. Girl kicked me out that apartment. Next day, I get on a flight on my way back to Houston. And this is when God shows up. I knew he was coming. That's why I was trying to hurry up and get the divorce. Because I knew he was going to show up. My cousin Reggie was my lawyer. He been married and divorced twice. I hired him because he know how to do it. But he fumbling my paperwork. So I'm on a flight back to Houston. And I remember vividly, this is what God said. God said, my guy, let me get this straight. Oh, y'all think he talk like my child. That's how y'all think. That's why you miss hearing him. He says, my God, let me get this straight. So you getting ready to divorce this girl because she do a few things you don't like. Yet, I have not divorced you. And you do a plethora of things I don't like. Not only have I not divorced you, I haven't even exposed you. The plane land. I jump in my truck. I drive straight to Erica's apartment because it's her apartment. And let me say this, stop feeling bad for women. Because, you know, that's what people are like, oh, I feel so bad for her. Stop feeling bad for women because Erica was having the time of her life. You know what I mean? The time of her life. Right? So I just pop up over there. She answered the door. I said, look here, we got to get back together. She was like, why? I said, we got to get back together because God has spoken. Let the church. Amen. We get back together, and it's worse. We get back together, we reconcile, reunite it, and it don't feel good. Second time around, and it's worse. I've been in church all my life. I know the song. Jesus, he lives in me. It's past after a while. Why would he put us back together if he wasn't going to fix it? And that's when I stumbled up. I was reading the Bible, your Bible. I was in Genesis. That's the first book, in case you've never opened it. And I was reading about how God had formed the world. I'm reading it. And as I'm reading it, I'm noticing when God was forming the world, he was just speaking stuff. He was just saying, hey, let there be this. Let there be that. And stuff was just forming. And then he said, man, I need a player for real on the earth. So he got some dirt, spit in it, shake it up, threw it out there. There go Adam. He gives Adam a job, giving him an assignment. He tell him, look here, man, I need you to make sure everything's straight. I need you to have dominion. I need you to name all the animals, do all that. And Adam did it. And when that was over, Adam started looking at these animals going, why are these ducks stuck together? I don't know what they're doing, but boy, it looks fun. Why are these zebras behind each other? I don't know what they doing, but it looks fun. Why are these giraffes on top of one another? God noticed Adam's curiosity. So God looked down and said, ooh, this boy needs somebody to play with. Okay, I forgot, y'all church folk. So y'all Bible probably say, God looked down and said, it's not good for man to be alone. Is that what y'all Bible say? Same thing. Grow up. It's a lot of versions now of the Bible. It's a bunch of versions. But when he said that, it made me wonder, why didn't he just speak marriage? He been speaking everything else. But what your Bible say, he put Adam to sleep. Split that side. Took a rib out. Made woman. Eve. The reason why I know marriage is major surgery is because anytime you need anesthesia, it's serious. Stop telling people marriage is fun. It can be fun. But marriage is surgical. Trying to get two minds to think like one. That's surgical. Trying to get four hands to function like two. That's surgical. Yeah. That is surgical. Crazy part is, what got everybody fooled, what it got everybody fooled though, is this wedding. See, this wedding got everybody fooled. What I did was a didactic ophthalmology study on weddings. I don't know what that means. I heard a pastor said it sounded good, and so I know how to use it in a sentence. But I did my research on a wedding, right? And man, that wedding is full of smoke and mirrors. Let me take you there. When you first get to a wedding, you got a bride side and a groom side, which means people come to the wedding already taking sides. Who you with? I'm with the groom. Right or wrong? Tina, my girl, I don't care. It's whatever. Nuck if you bug, all that old type of stuff. The entire ceremony is catered to the bride. The whole thing. Girl, this your day. I can't believe your day is here. It made me wonder, does the groom have to show up? Can't y'all just put me on Zoom on one of the screens at the church? Yeah. Look at the rings. No, look at them. I get all my rings from a place in the mall called Aldo. My rings average about $9.99. I get them from there for it to match my watch. But the reason why I start doing that, because I have a diamond ring, but nobody compliment me on my ring. Women only get complimented. Other women go to women and be like, ooh, girl, shine bright like a diamond. Yes. All right now. Even men go up to women and say goofy stuff. He must really love you. The whole ceremony shift though when it's time for the bride to come in. Everybody stands up. Focus their attention. They got their cameras. They taking pictures. The music change. Then the bride come down the center aisle with her dad or her son. Everybody don't wait. Have you ever wondered where the groom is? Huh? He just come out of some utility closet. just come out, brushing off lint. The biggest part of the wedding and the most important part is the vows. This is the biggest part. Because the vows are actually letting you know what you're getting ready to say yes to. The vows. But the reason why people ain't paying attention, because now they do the new vows. They like to write their own. See, now people don't do the old vows. The old vows are old, antiquated, traditional, out of date. And sometimes people have a problem with, oh, they think old is bad. My son, he the main one. We could be out. I could see a guy with some nice shoes on, be like, ooh, them some live shoes he got on. Here go my son, live. Who says live? Dad, that's so old. And then he turned right around. Dad, can I get some money? I say, this old money. Surely you don't want this. Yeah. But now what you have people who, they like to write their own vows because they don't want to put them old vows in their wind. And writing your own vows, it's cool, but it don't give a panoramic view of the marriage. You see them, they be all on social media. The guy, he up there, the pastor be like, hey, they go decided to recite their own vows. And the dude be up there, can't get it together. Boys, come on, man. I got it. And he get up there. Katrina. He don't even know she a hurricane. Ever since we've been together, you done helped me with my business, my credit better. You had me get my CDL license. And all that is real. I feel him. But that ain't what the marriage is, man. Huh? Katrina get right up there. Tyrone. You call. No. I prayed for a man to take care of me the way my daddy took care of my mama. And all that's real. But that ain't how the marriage gonna be. Yeah. I don't know who wrote them old, antiquated, out-of-date, traditional vows. I don't know what couple wrote them. But I knew they had some insight. They had some real good insight. Man, have you ever just paid attention to vows? Because I didn't. When I got married, I'm up there with Erica. We was right here. Whole time I'm up there, I'm like, yeah, you know what's about to happen to you. You already know. When we get out of here, my dad was like, boy, pay attention. I'm like, man, hurry up with the vows. Y'all always want Chris to get married. They want to hold them up the whole time. Man, come on. I wasn't even listening. But them vows, they will tell you if you use them what to expect in the marriage. Because them old vows, oh my God. Let me give them to you. It start off to have and to hold. Do y'all know I just found out what to have and to hold meant this summer? I've been married 27 years, and I just found out this summer what to have and to hold me. I take care of my grandmother. My grandmother, 94 years old. And, okay, yeah, I'm glad I wasn't 94. Yeah.
take care of my grandmother, and I came home one Sunday off the road. I like to get back on Sundays, and she calls, and she says, Mark, that's what she calls, Mark. I said, yeah, what's up, Granny? Something's wrong with my washer. I said, Granny, what's wrong with it? It ain't working. I said, that's my fault, stupid question, okay. So because I don't have patience, because I don't have a whole lot of time, I don't want all these different people in and out of my 94-year-old grandmother's home. I get right up and I run to this appliance store in Houston called Kunz. I'm in Kunz because I'm just about to get a new one. I don't want to, you know, have to mess around with this old thing. I'm about to get a new one. And so I'm in Kunz, and I'm looking, I'm pricing, and I call my granny. I say, Granny, what color is your washer? My grandmother said, brown. I'm looking in there. I see white, black, silver. I don't see no brown. I said, Granny, how long y'all had that washer? She said, oh, we got it in 78. I said, and it just broke? She said, no, it gave us a problem a time or two, but your pawpaw had it under warranty with Sears and Roebuck. Then my grandmother said, but why are you at Kunz appliance store? I said, Granny, because you told me the washer broke. She said, no, ain't nothing wrong with it. It just need to be fixed. You around here thinking something wrong with her. You around here thinking something wrong with him. But according to my granny's theology, ain't nothing wrong with them. They just need to be fixed. We are living in a generation that's good at having and horrible at holding. We good at having. The world teach having. You just got an iPhone. Saw a commercial for the iPhone 73. And now you looking at your phone. Look, this old phone here. This is giving me so much problem. This don't even work. You just do what it want to do. You just start talking bad about the phone. Because you got to have it. You just got a brand new vehicle. Just got it. Found out they got a new model with one new feature. You know, this one right here got seat warmers in the back. You don't even sit back there. But you gotta have it. Yeah. To have and to hold. For better or worse. It's a strong one here. It's a better me. It's a worse me. Yeah. And what's crazy is it's an indicator that worse is coming. And when worse come, it don't even RSVP. It just show up. Who is it? Worse. You ready? For richer or poor. For so long, I thought that just meant money. What about the poor attitude? Poor work ethic. Poor understanding. You ever been with somebody that don't understand nothing? Everybody understand you. You understood on your job. You understood at church. But they don't understand nothing. In sickness and in health. But I looked at that. That was crazy, sickness and health, because it was like richer, poor, or say it was like better, worse. That's good, bad. Richer, poor, you know, good, bad. sickness, health, bad, good. Kind of made me wonder, do y'all think when you get married sick? I just told you it's surgery. And you spend the rest of your life trying to get well. Rehabbing. Yeah, you got to rehab in marriage. Yeah. I can tell some of y'all, because some of y'all are like, man, he skipped a bunch of them. I did. It was on purpose. It was by design. Because I remember this one girl, when I was out here doing the show one time, she going to tell me. She going to say, oh, you didn't say, to be with just one person only. Forsake all others. I said, yeah, I left that out because I knew y'all wouldn't receive it well. But forsake all those, I ain't just talking about no side piece, because if that's the case, we would have said forsake all side pieces. It say forsake all others. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know some of your family. Yeah. Yeah, some of your sororities and fraternities. See, y'all don't want me to talk about this. Some of your bosses, yeah, yeah. Some of your pastors. Okay, 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 all right. No, okay, okay, okay. I'm going too far, too far, too far. Too far. I looked up what major surgery is. I looked it up. All it is surgery performed on the main organs. That's what major surgery is. Surgery performed on the main organs. The main organs are your brain, your heart, and your abdomen. Some of you have had foot surgery. You thought it was major. It wasn't. You have what they call gout. And if you cut down on the red meat and the brown liquor, you'll be okay. Major surgery, main organs, brain, heart, abdomen. Tell you something, it's a reason why the Bible says renew your mind. The girl I married in 1997 is gone. She left a long time ago. And the guy she married in 97, gone. He left a long time ago. I knew I had to renew my mind because I remember when I got married, we got married at my father's church. And you know, at those churches, it's an old school church. Y'all have edifices now. This was just a regular church where they had the middle aisle and the two sides. And they had the little diamond windows, you know. And that's what the mean usher be holding the door. You can't come in right now. He's like, I need prayer. You was late. You gotta wait, you know. She real mean, hold the door, you know, like she bought it. But, so at my wedding, I walked down the aisle. I wasn't coming out of no utility closet. I walked down the aisle and I put roses down for my bride to come behind me. That's how we did it in 97. And I'm at the door though, because I'm looking through the windows and I see all these people. We only invited 300 people because we only sent out invitations to people we thought would give us money. Yeah. But in my father's church, it was about 1,200 people. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, this serious. And my cousin, Reggie, the lawyer, he looks at me and he say, hey, cuz, you straight? I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just seeing all these people in here. He say, man, it looked like you about to faint. I said, nah, I just didn't expect all these people in here. And Reggie says, man, you better shake it off and get in there and handle your business. And I was like, business? Marriage is business? But as I got older, Reggie was on to something. Marriage is business. And you better learn. Because see, when you get married, your spouse is more than just your spouse. You know, they are now your business partner, your best friends, your roommate. Some of you are your lover. Some of y'all try to be chefs. Uber drivers, you know. It's a lot. And so you have to know exactly who you talking to. And that's like a business decision. It's how you evolve. I come from a family where we straight shooters. We just say what we want to say. And we expect you to, I guess, you know, get over it. That's what I come from. That's how I was raised. I'm not saying it's right. It's just real. That's what I come from. We basically throw up on you. And then, like, come on, clean yourself off. Let's go. Right? Because that's how my mama was. She just talked real, real reckless to me. And then 30 minutes later, come on, we about to go get something to eat. And I'd be like, all right, you know. So when I got married, that's what I was doing. Man, I'd say exactly what I want to say. Yeah, to my wife. Boom. 30 minutes later, I come in there. Hey, you want to get something to eat? My wife would be like, I said, man, what's wrong with you? I can't believe that you would talk to your wife like that. And I was like, bro, I'm saying I'm done with it. I mean, man, why you tripping on that? Let's go eat. I know you're hungry. I hear your stomach. Right here. Let's go. But I was getting nowhere doing it that way. So like Red said, I had to think business. So I had to learn to talk to who I was trying to talk to at that point and not the whole person. So I grew to go like, hey, my wife come home. Hey, what's up, babe? You good? Yeah, good. Straight. Listen, can my wife go to the bedroom? Because I need to talk to my business partner. Because what I'm about to say to my business partner, my wife ain't gonna like this. So I need my wife to leave so I could tell this business partner who don't know what a budget is, who's running up these credit cards. You supposed to be a silent partner, but oh, you real loud. And that way, when I specify who I'm talking to, it don't make it seem like the whole person is messed up. Yeah, renew your mind. It's the reason why your Bible say guard your heart. Yeah, guard your heart. It's telling you, man, it's going to be some things said. You ain't gonna like. I didn't even know I had feelings until I got married. Good luck finding them when I was single. I ain't had no feelings. Yeah, when I was out there dating two or three of them. Okay, four, five of them. You know how I go. Four, five. Yeah, I was out there. And so I ain't had no feelings. Man, I never been hurt by a woman. Until I got married. I was shocked I had feelings. Man, what is wrong with me? What is wrong? I remember the day it happened. My wife was in the kitchen. She was chopping up something, you know, trying to get some food to eat. And we were just talking. Really wasn't arguing. We were just talking, you know, whatever. And then my wife said this here. Now, my wife, she's standing like this. She had his foot like this. And she was like, Marcus, you don't do nothing around here but pay bills. I say, what? She say, you don't do nothing around here but pay bills. She acting like I only pay Wi-Fi. I pay all the bills. That was my gift to my wife. You hold me down for 5 years. I'ma hold you down for life. That's just my gift. Now, when she said that, I was perplexed. Because I know people in my mama era and above, I'm not saying they worship a man that pay all the bills, but they really adore him. They really admire him. Oh, but this new girl. Boy, you don't do nothing around here but pay the bills. And I ain't gonna lie, y'all, that hurt me. Because all I ever wanted to do was free my wife up. She didn't have to worry about no money. And I found out that what I really wanted to do for her didn't mean much. So that stuck with me for about a couple of years. But I found out what she meant in the pandemic. In the pandemic, you know, I wasn't working. You know, a lot of you churches had shut down on me. Churches had shut down on me. And so, you know, I wasn't working. So I was at home a lot. And though I wasn't working, she was still at work, right? She was still struggling with them kids, taking them to school, doing homework, all this type of stuff. Mommy, I'm sick. And I was like, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Let me know we need the copay. I mean, you know, I don't know nothing. Right? So one day, Erica was struggling with our daughter, Charlie. Struggling with her this morning. Charlie, be still. Charlie, stop. Quit. All that type of stuff. So I don't know if it was the spirit, I don't know. Something hit me. And I said, hey, babe, I'm going to take Charlie to school today. My wife said, for real? I said, yeah, I'm going to run up there. I said, okay, thank you, babe. So she got Charlie together. I put on my little stuff. Get Charlie put in the truck. The school just 3 minutes up the road. All right? 3 minutes up the road. We get to the school. But what's up with this drop-off line? Let me stop right here. What is this drop-off line about? I mean, why it takes so long, dog? I want to tell Charlie, hey, get out the truck, look both ways, walk across the street. You'll be okay. I did it my whole life. Let's just walk across. It's a 3 minute drive to the school, but a 30 minute in the line. It's so dumb. But anyway, I take Charlie to school, drop off, I get back to the crib, open the door. Is that bacon? Was that eggs? Grits? Toast? I walked in, I said, babe, what's up? She's like, well, you know, I cooked a little breakfast, you know, for us. I said, sure. We ate. We sat on the couch, you know, catching up on our stories. Yellowstone. You know. Yeah, Ozark. You know, we watching all the stuff, you know, all our little shows at that time. And we doing that. And then we just having a good little pandemic day. And then it got about 3:30. My wife said, oh, I got to go get Charlie. I said, no.
I'll get her.
Back up to that school. Hey, what's up with this pickup line? I mean, what is another line? Y'all didn't drop off this many kids. What's going on? Yeah. And let me tell you something. Just because somebody hurt your feelings don't mean they were wrong. Yeah. Yeah, your feelings just hurt. Tell your feelings to lift weights. Tell your feelings do some push-ups. Yeah. And then last, the abdomen. The abdomen. Right, the abdomen is, you know, like I say, it's your system. One of the major problems I had first got married, I was trying to put the system that I grew up watching, my mom and my dad, which was a good system, but it was their system. My pawpaw and my granny's system. Good system. But it was their system. And I was trying to put that system in my house. And I'm failing. I'm failing. Y'all, I'm big on time. Oh, I'm big on time. And I got that from my pawpaw. My pawpaw, he real big on time. So my pawpaw would do stuff like, hey, he'll tell you at night, Saturday night, hey, we're leaving for church. 9 a.m. sharp. Let me tell you, hey, we leaving for church 9 a.m. What that means to my pawpaw, you're in the car at 9. He's doing this at 9. Know what he doing? Now, show you something. My pawpaw Saturday night, man, he laying his clothes out. He laying everything out. We see it. We see it. He letting you, hey, I'm making sure I won't be late. Laying there. My granny, she ain't on the phone. Yeah, girl. Yeah, I know it was all that. Yeah. My pawpaw laying everything. He shaving. He doing it all. Saturday night. Sunday come. Man, my pawpaw, he get up. You hear him in there. He getting himself together. My grandmother in the closet, just, ooh, what am I? I thought I had some stockings in here. And my pawpaw, he wanna leave somebody because he's already told you. So he in the car at 8:30. He already in the, he already in the Cadillac. Just hitting the steering wheel. He wanna leave somebody. So my aunt, boom, she get in there. I'm in the car. Granny ain't came. I ain't gonna lie, I'm just in there. Oh, come on, Granny. Come on, Granny. Man, soon as that 9 o'clock hit, my pawpaw, real man. Man, we get in the street. You see my grandmother. My grandmother's coming out the door. I'm all against the windshield. Granny! Granny! My pawpaw gone. When I got married, I tried to do the same thing. Tell Erica, hey, we leaving in the morning at 9. Do the same thing my pawpaw do. I'm laying out in my clothes. Hey, but I'm talking. You see I'm getting ready, huh? Because I'm not a real man like my pawpaw. I'm trying to help my way. Hey, you see I'm getting myself together. You don't want to find out what you're going to wear? You don't want to, because I don't want to leave my wife. You don't want to find out what you're going to get your stuff together, just kind of lay it out a little bit. My wife, boy, I'm good. Just go and do what you're going to do. Laying my stuff. Man, 9 o'clock come. I'm in that car. But what I do? Because I ain't no real man. I call. Babe, where you at? I'm coming. Stop rushing me. Yeah, I said last night we're gonna leave at 9. You're being very, very disrespectful right now, man. Come on, you act like you're in the military or something. It's all good. And that would burn me up. Oh, that would burn the bottom of my feet. Try and do that system. We got 2 calls. We ain't gotta drive church together. Yeah, I'm gone. Yeah, you drive your car, I drive mine. Right? And when I was in college, my favorite professor, a guy by the name of Dr. Ronald Lomas, this one I knew you could have different systems, right? We in class one day, and Dr. Lomas says, oh, I got to get out of here. I got to get home and cook. So we was like, Doc, you cook? He said, every night. Now we being messy. Well, what's your wife do? What's she do? He's like, oh, my wife cut the grass. We was like, she cut the grass? He was like, yeah, she liked the grass to be a certain length, go with her garden, so she out there. I don't be outside. Oh, it's too hot out there for me. But that's when I knew different system. And you got to go with the system that work at your house. So it's been 27 years now, and you know, things are much better. Rehab is going really good. Rehab is going good. And You know, only thing now, though, is though we are better mentally, you know, because for y'all, I got to tell you, when you rehab, you know, some of you need to go to a, you know, psychologist, psychiatrist, church. You know, that's rehab to kind of help you help your marriage. But though rehab is going well on that end, physically, I'm declining. I'm declining physically. I'm not the man I used to be. That's something else I found out in the pandemic. Being at home and my wife Erica was taking advantage of my body. Yeah, being very handsy, not taking no for an answer. It was lightweight molestation. I'm not gonna lie. I don't want it. Stop. I don't. But not taking no for an answer. Saying a lot of goofy stuff too, like you know, we just finished doing it, baby. Let's do it again. And I'm like, no. I was the last bullet in that gun. I ain't got no more for you. It's a rap, Jack. Yeah. It got bad. It got so bad, man. When I tell you, it got so bad, I was this close to letting her have a boyfriend. I ain't lying. No, look. I was this close. I was like, he gonna get tired of you too. Yeah, you'll be back. Yeah, I ain't lying. And I don't know what it is about women in their 40s and moving to their 50s and things of that nature, but some up with her. She's really hot. And so, you know, I wanted to know, man, what's wrong with her? So I called the doctor. I say, hey, I got a situation at the crib. And it's real burdensome. And we need, yeah, burdensome. We need some help. And so we do a virtual doctor's visit. And the doctor shared with me, he says, Mr. Wiley, what you're dealing with your wife is normal. He says men typically peak sexually in their 20s. That's what he say. Men typically peak sexually in their 20s. Women don't get started until they in their 40s. Yeah, listen to the women, thou art loose. Amen. Won't he do it? just nasty. Nasty. So, yeah, he went on and he diagnosed my wife with a condition called insatiable. Insatiable means can't get enough. And I've had enough. I've had enough. I mean, I know what this is. I don't believe I'm auditioning, am I? Well, get off the Zoom with the doctor. I go to my wife, I say, look here, cuz. We're gonna have to make some changes to the dynamics of this relationship. She was like what? I say, well, the first change is we can't do two things no more. We can only do one. She said, explain. I said, look, either we can go out and have a good time, or we could stay home and have a good time. But what we can't ever do again is go out, have a good time, then come home and have a good time. I'm tired just telling y'all about it. And my knee just started hurting all of a sudden. Then I told her we gotta cut down our time of sex. Yeah, we gotta cut that down. She said, why? I say, cause you sick. Was you not listening to the doctor? You don't listen to nobody, man. She said, cut it down to what? I said, well, I prayed about it. And after much prayer, God shared with me a good time for married couples over 20 years to have sex is 11 minutes.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
11 minutes. And that's the whole production.
That's foreplay, intercourse, and the cigarette, 11 minutes. Start the clock when she do her bra like this.
Man, we be out, and you know, I don't have sex on demand no more. We gotta prep it, you know. You gotta let me know, you know. So when we out, I gotta be like, hey, you trying to do something or what we gonna do now? I mean, before I get this second margarita, are you trying to? She like, yeah, let's do something. Okay. So we get home and my wife, she like jump in the shower right quick. And when she jump in that shower, just that little downtime right there, just that hour I'm on that bed like. And she get out the shower and she freshening up, lighting candles, trying to find a playlist. I'm like, girl, you wasting valuable time. Hey, y'all, that's my time. My name is Marcus D. Wiley. I want to bring out on stage, y'all, this brother. I've been touring with him now since December. Brother by the name of Ali Sadiq. Ali Sadiq is the executive producer of my special. That means he put up all the money. So y'all do me a favor and show him some love. Ali Sadiq.
Y'all give it up for Marcus D. Wiley.